Hey, everybody, and welcome to the 5 Bytes podcast. I'm your host, Rory Monahan. Coming up on this week's episode, big news from Citrix as they introduce a new license type and announce an acquisition. Also, another ransomware gang claims to have been breached by the authorities. And Microsoft tries to compare OpenAI's ChatGPT to a VCR in a recent lawsuit filed against them and OpenAI. For this and more, keep listening to this episode of the podcast, which as always is brought to you by my sponsors. And that includes Networks Policy Pack, where you use Group Policy, Policy Pack Cloud, or MDM to remove local admin rights, manage and lock down applications, Java, browsers, and mitigate ransomware, plus more. And also brought to you by Numescent, the inventors of the first and only cloud-native container management platform for Windows desktops. And of course, also brought to you by ControlUp, end-to-end digital experience management for the work from anywhere era. ControlUp, happy users, happy IT. And before I get into the news this week, I do apologize. I am very, very sick. I didn't want to skip a week because I haven't missed a week, like a calendar week, since I started this podcast over 6 years ago. But yeah, I'm very sick and my voice is going to not be so clear. But yeah, stick with it. And now for some news. It was a big week in the world of EUC. Citrix announced the acquisition of UberAgent and introduced the new Citrix platform license. With UberAgent, Citrix now, and really for the first time ever, has an enterprise-grade monitoring solution for its own platform. I'm sure I'm not the only one who thinks this, but in my opinion, Director Analytics and other previous attempts for monitoring solutions for Citrix simply did not cut the mustard. So I'm excited that they've bought a tool in UberAgent that is widely regarded within the community, and it's certainly a step up from any previous iteration of a monitoring solution that Citrix has tried to implement. It'll be interesting to see how this affects the relationship between Citrix and other monitoring products, or DEX vendors, of which there are several. One reason the other vendors in that space may not be completely tossed aside is the fact that UberAgent and some other Citrix products are only available in this new platform license that I alluded to. At this license, which the register suggests is invitation only at the moment, has no set sizing and criteria that's yet been published by Citrix yet. So there's no, I guess, barrier to entry or number of seats that you have to have in order to avail of this license that's published publicly yet. There's also a suggestion that some new products in the future may only become available to those with the platform license. So similar to how UberAgent is only going to be available to those with this platform license, future acquired products and launched new features and products may only become available to those with the platform license. So existing universal license holders may not actually be able to use some upcoming new features unless they switch over to the platform license. And at the moment, there's not a whole lot of information available. I'm recording this while the event, I believe in Florida, I think it's in Fort Lauderdale, or maybe Orlando, is still going on. So there may be more information on next week's episode if Citrix shares that. Apple has released security updates to address several security flaws, including two vulnerabilities that it said have been actively exploited in the wild. The flaws are listed as CVE-2024-23225, and this one is a memory corruption issue in kernel that an attacker with an arbitrary kernel read and write capability can exploit to bypass kernel memory protections, and also CVE-2024-23296, which is another memory corruption issue, this time in the RTKit real-time operating system that an attacker with arbitrary kernel read and write capability can exploit to bypass kernel memory protections. According to thehackernews.com, if you're running a supported version of iOS, iPadOS, macOS, and Safari, be sure to update to the latest versions. And once again, these are being actively exploited, so don't sleep on it. The Black Cat ransomware gang, who infamously breached the Colonial Pipeline, are being accused of staging an exit scam, trying to shut down and run off with affiliates' money by pretending the FBI seized their site and infrastructure. The gang announced they are now selling the source code for the malware for a price of $5 million. An affiliate of the gang claims a ransom of over $20 million that they claimed from a healthcare company was seized by Black Cat. And Black Cat posted saying that they, quote, decided to completely close the project and we can officially declare that the feds screwed us over, end quote. But according to bleepycomputer.com, some of the authorities at least say that they have nothing to do with this disruption. An expert told bleepycomputer.com that it appears there was a fake banner pulled from an archive published on Black Cat's leak site to indicate that the site had been seized. But the claim being made is that Black Cat put that up themselves and may be trying to do a runner with the money. Not going to lose any sleep and feel sorry for other scammers who lost out on a $20+ million ransom because the people who they got the ransomware from screwed them over. You know, lay down with dogs, get fleas. The Windows subsystem for Android is set for retirement on March 5th, 2024, so by the time you're listening to this, it's only got about a year left. Microsoft's notice implies that the Amazon App Store and all Android apps will disappear from the Microsoft Store sometime between now and March 2025, so they could very well leave the store sooner. The feature only launched 3 years ago, so this is a speedy retreat. I suspect they will work on other ways to pair or integrate Windows with phones. And I'll touch on that in the next story. With the March Windows 11 update, you can now disable the Microsoft Start feed, and the Windows Widgets board is also now interoperable as part of Microsoft's Digital Markets Act's commitment to the European Commission. So that will be a well-received change that you're no longer going to be forced to use that Microsoft Start MSN/type experience. The Snap feature will also now remember your frequently snapped apps and automatically suggest layouts. The Phone Link, which I alluded to in the last story, well, the Phone Link system in Windows 11 will now include the ability to access recent photos or use your phone as a web camera on video conferencing apps. So that's a feature I think that's been tried before. I don't think it's been very successful or well received, but this may be another example of Microsoft looking at ways to integrate phone use with Windows. They also had other features in the past, like the MyPhone stuff, and it hasn't been great, to be honest, but perhaps they're looking at doing more of those features within the OS rather than having an entire subsystem to run Android apps on Windows. The March update also brings a new voice shortcuts feature that lets you create custom commands to automate tasks in the voice access feature of Windows 11. And according to TheVerge.com, on the AI side of things, the AI chatbot will be able to enable the battery saver mode or to launch accessibility features like Narrator or Magnifier. And Copilot will also be able to show available Wi-Fi network, storage space, and even empty your recycling bin for you. That last one would be nice. A new generative erase feature will also let you remove unwanted objects from a photo by simply selecting and deleting them. So that's something that actually came in as a manual feature within Paint. So it seems like using AI to do that might be the next step. And they say that Clipchamp, which is Microsoft's video editor, is also gaining the ability to remove awkward silences from a video. For this and more, check out the link that I'll share with this article for a full roundup of what's included in this update, and that'll be over at 5bytespodcast.com with this episode. StatCounter has reported that Linux desktops now account for about 4% of market share, which is the first time it has hit this height. Windows increased its dominance in the market space, but decreases were seen in macOS and ChromeOS, according to the report. And I'll share a link to this report if you'd like to get into the metrics for yourself to see exactly what percentage each was at and how much they increased or decreased compared to 2023. Recently, Citrix DAS suffered an outage that seemed to last for over an hour. For some reason, I could not find information on the status history page But this appeared to be DNS related at the time because I was in a group chat and we were discussing what was going on. Apple has been fined $2 billion. The fine originates in a legal complaint filed with the European Commission by Spotify in 2019. They challenged restrictions and fees Apple places on developers listing their apps in the App Store. And the European Commission agreed, saying that Apple's App Store restrictions amount to unfair trading conditions that may have led iOS users to pay significantly higher prices for music streaming subscriptions. Apple tried to make a case that Spotify subverts their store by having a subscription option within their app, which hurts the profit-sharing ecosystem through the Apple Store, and that despite this, they continue to allow Spotify to use their store to host the app, and they even provided timely support when issues arose, which is something that not all vendors get, and they got that for the hefty price of nothing. It was free for them, is what Apple claims. Now, I kind of read this the other way. It's like, well, yeah, of course Apple would kind of bend over backwards to accommodate Spotify. And when there's an issue with Spotify, they'd be quick to try and remedy it because Spotify is likely one of the top downloaded applications on iPhones. I think they even made the case themselves saying that there's like billions of downloads, be that on new phones, re-downloads, and what have you. But yeah, of course, Apple's going to go out of their way for Spotify and also for other top applications that are downloaded and installed on many billions of iPhones because they want to keep their iPhone customers happy. So I don't think that's a huge statement on their part. What they're doing is taking care of their own customers, which is to benefit them. Things are quickly getting ugly in the lawsuit launched by the New York Times against OpenAI and Microsoft, with OpenAI claiming the paper paid experts to hack OpenAI in order to get the information needed to file their lawsuit. Microsoft also proposed that the technology and its use has precedent in a previous case between Sony and Universal over the VCR's ability to be used to record TV shows and movies, plus to play bootlegged tapes. Microsoft stated, quote, "The Times alleges that Microsoft is contributory liable for end-user copyright infringement through use of GPT-based tools, but it alleges no end-user infringement at all, and thus no knowledge on Microsoft's part that end-users are making infringing use of LLMs that have a universe of entirely lawful uses. The claim is therefore the exact one the Supreme Court rejected when it blessed the VCR," end quote. So they're essentially saying that, yeah, people with the VCR could have potentially recorded a TV show or a movie that was being aired on like a freely available television that was owned by perhaps Universal or produced by Universal, but maybe they wouldn't. You know, they could just be using their VCR to simply play something, play a video or record something that they've made themselves, possibly. It's complete BS, but they're essentially leaning on an old case about the VCR to fight their case on generative AI. Seems kind of weak to me because the evidence that the New York Times showed that saw that the results from GPT returned almost verbatim entire articles from the New York Times is pretty damning. Also AI related and Microsoft related, Microsoft have announced a new multi-year partnership deal with a company called Mistral, which is an AI company based in France. It is expected Mistral will provide commercial language models on Microsoft's Azure cloud computing platform. SiliconRepublic.com reports that Mistral performs strongly on commonly used benchmarks, making it the world's second ranked model generally available through an API after OpenAI GPT-4. As well as English, the AI model is capable of processing native-level French, Spanish, German, and Italian. As part of the partnership, Microsoft and Mistral AI will explore collaboration around training purpose-specific models for select customers, including the European public sector. In December, Mistral, which was only launched in May of last year, hit unicorn status after securing €385 million in a round backed by Andreessen Horowitz, Nvidia, and Salesforce. At the time, the startup was valued at around $2 billion. yeah, the AI stuff is just ridiculous. It's just taking off like a rocket. Apple announced their new MacBook Airs that will be available this week. These devices come with the latest Apple M3 processor, and according to Culta Mac, while there is no improvement to battery life from the improved efficiencies of the newer chip, the Apple M3 processor in the 2024 MacBook Air brings an impressive 25% increase in performance compared to its M2 predecessor, and early benchmark results indicate a 60% increase in performance compared to the M1 chip. So, in particular, if you're using an M1 chip currently for your MacBook Air or perhaps a MacBook Pro, switching to this new MacBook Air with the M3 processor will yield a much greater performance. And to wrap up the news this week, ControlUp has announced the first inductees or awardees of their DEXI program. And that includes me, so I would like to say thank you to ControlUp for including me in the first round of awardees for the DEXI program, and also congratulations to all my fellow DEXI members too. And if you'd like to enter the program, it sounds like it could be pretty cool, and there's a lot of benefits to it. You can apply via ControlUp, and I'll share a link with this episode to do just that. So before I get into the scripts, tricks, and tips, just once again, apologies because I am very aware that my voice is off. I'm kind of stumbling a little bit this week. There's a couple of stories that I just cut because I knew I made a mess of them. But hopefully I'm feeling better by next week, and next week's episode is just back to normal. But now this episode's scripts, tricks, and tips. First up, given the news of the Uber agent acquisition, I figured it would be a good time to circle back to James Rankin's old blog post series on Uber agent, where he goes through getting set up with Uber agent and has a lot of really great information. It is a multi-part blog series, so for those who maybe are Citrix customers and you're quite a large customer and you're thinking, well, what is Uber agent all about? I haven't used it before. This could be a really good starting point for you. And the awesome Guy Leach had tweeted something this week that I saw where he said today he learned that you can run local startup scripts by running gpscript.exe/startup, and you have to run that elevated. He said that it's handy to test a script works via GPO without having to do a reboot, so no need to do that like gpupdate/force for updating computer object oriented policies and then having to log off and log in. Very handy. Finally, I'd like to promote a little bit of my own work. I recently started a new video series with New Messant called The Office of the Technologist, and the first episode is now live, where I talk about AppV and the fact that in the latest version of Server 2025, Microsoft has updated a warning when you try to use the enable-appv commandlet in PowerShell, basically stating that AppV is going to be end of life in 2026. And it links out to an information page. So I discuss that and kind of discuss what that might mean for those currently using AppV, and just kind of talk about my love of AppV more, really. But that's it for this episode of the podcast. I'll catch you guys next week.